We know that these patterns, they generate, or they have a hard probability of generating these crazy moves after. We don't know, like Silver outdid expectations. It really like it went bonkers. So the key is focus on this, guys. Focus on this. Where do I see these patterns where there's a sideways move, a false breakdown, where this kills the morale of everybody, right? Everybody dumped their silver back here. It was the end of the world. Then it climbs back in. Then people think it's to the moon here, but not quite. It goes sideways. And then when you break out, that's when you have the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time. So, and then oil is going to break out. The idea is because silver versus the SPX, let's say GUSD divided by SPX, because silver is not super stretch versus SPX, like it's just starting to, starting its move versus SPX. We haven't run hot 10 years now for silver versus SPX, where we're at the end of a bull market for silver. We're probably just like at the beginning here, the first stages. My goodness, Steve. Woohoo! That gets me excited there. That stuff is like, remember, guys, what happened to silver or any chart that has these type of patterns. Pull flag, and if it breaks to the upside, that's the market telling you, holy Moses, man, that's the lower risk entry points, which means the chances of getting triggered out. So let's say I have a sell stop down here, I enter here, the chances of getting triggered out once you get a confirmed breakout, you might retest the breakout line, but odds are you're going to get better reward on the way out there.
Everybody, welcome back. It's me, just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And today I have with me Patrick Karim from North Star Bat Charts. Great hat there, Patrick. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. Yeah, I'm doing good. Good. Happy to talk to you there, to somebody who's rational and sane.
Well, that's giving me a bit too much, but I do find this world kind of hard to navigate right now, and I'm glad to have you here to kind of pick your brain. Patrick, in particular, I want to talk to you first about oil. I keep hearing two stories on oil. Some say that, we're in a super cycle, and others that think that it could roll over. And, you like to weigh the evidence and let the chart speak, so to speak. And so here in late 2026 of February of 2026, what are the charts saying?
All right, so let's pop up the chart. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Okay, this is the USL chart. I'll zoom out, I'll put it on the monthly. Okay, so this is the USL chart. USL is essentially the 12 months of crude oil futures. So it's, what are we in a, it's February contract, the March, April, May, all these contracts that look in the future of the range of the curve of oil price, that's what that chart is. And this is what I see, man. I'll go through a whole bunch of these different oil charts. That line is a pretty important now, that line right now. So if I put that on the monthly close basis, look at that. Wow. So what do I have here? I have one, two, three, four, five. It's getting pretty interesting, because now, and even here, you can make a case that you had some type of false breakdown below the 12-month, 36-month moving average, above a cloud. But that is a crazy, crazy pattern. And look, so silver back in the days, I was super bullish when I had a similar pattern. I'll show you. I have to show you guys this. Let me duplicate this. It's gonna put the backdrop to why I'm looking at oil a lot right now. Let me put silver here. Let's zoom back out. Back in the days, silver had a similar pattern right here. It had an explosion off a base.
Okay.
Then after that, it had a multi point touch like that. One, two, three, four, five. And then it exploded, went bah, a little rough start, but yeah. Then it exploded bonkers. So this is how you could rewind time. People say, Patrick, well, I have to buy silver now because I missed it, the entry, and I don't want to miss the rest. But and I they tell me, Patrick, I can't turn back time. Well, hold on. I can't turn back time, guys, but it's a I don't know, a figure of speech. The setup that where we got super bullish here is because we know that chart trading, the analysis, base, and then there's a cap, then the price explodes and consolidates. We know that these patterns, they generate, or they have a high probability of generating these crazy moves after. We don't know, like silver outdid expectations. It really it went bonkers. So the key is focus on this, guys. Focus on this. Where do I see these patterns where there's a sideways move, a false breakdown where this kills the morale of everybody, right? Everybody dumped their silver back here. It was the end of the world. Then it climbs back in. Then people think it's to the moon here, but not quite. It goes sideways. And then when you break out, that's when you have the greatest gains in the shortest amount of time. So let's say on this one here, I double click here. Show stats. I want to see, show me the price range and date time. Price range. So now I had $72 silver went up here in 686 days, right? That's pretty fast considering here it did practically no gains in a longer amount of time. So let's go here to the oil chart and look at that explosion out of the base. So here there was a base explosion and then it's halted. That's it. The market said halted. False breakdown to the downside. People hear oil, whatever. It's no good anymore. But look at that. We're back here. We're back here, Steve. And I know people love front running these charts. A lot of people, they know that I'm super defensive and I like waiting for the breakout. And Patrick, they said, look, I know you're waiting for the breakout, but I loaded up already. Fine. You know, because people, they love, because every single time here that you had a bounce, a lot of people probably bought here and they didn't wait for the breakout. And until you have the breakout, then you're still vulnerable for sideways move or even down a little bit. So, but we're there, we're very, very close. And I'll show you why this is important. Let's take a step back, just a small step back. I'll put here the crude oil chart. Remove all drawings, remove all indicators. I'll put it here on, okay, I'll keep that. Then I'll put the silver chart. New price scale. But then I'm going to merge all price scales. Oh, hold on. Wait. Mike. Does it sound still good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. All right. So here I merge silver and oil on the same price chart. So you see, historically, since 1861, most of the time, oil is sold at a premium to silver. Look at that. Most of the time, sometimes the silver catches up a little bit, the gap is very close, but there's most of the time there's a premium. So let's say you have $100 silver, or right, what is it now? $89 silver. This is an outlier. This is something that doesn't happen often. Most of the time. So if you have $80, $90 silver, I would expect oil to be eventually be up here above silver, wherever silver is. I would expect oil to be above that. So if we have $90 silver, I would expect oil maybe to be at 95, 100. It's not lockstep, guys. It's not always the same, but there's something happening here. Here, breakout for silver, move up. Oil could be happening right after that. When, I'll show you this eerie relationship, guys. When silver tops after a move out, guys, look at that. Silver exploded off a base. Hold on, just remove that. Oh, that coffee's so good. So silver broke out, it halted its advance, consolidated sideways. Look what oil did back then. It kept going up. There's another example here. Same thing here. Look at that. Back in 2020, look at silver. When silver peaked here and started going sideways, guess what oil did? It broke out of its price chart. Even here, if I zoomed in on the smaller time frames, there's probably something here. So there's a tendency, even here in the 2008 GFC one, silver peaked here. The GFC brought everything down there. Of course, if silver peaked, and look at that, oil kept going up. So there's a relationship where while they both trend in the same directions, if you zoom out there, look at that. It's clear that there's a they do higher lows and higher highs together. Here they went sideways in the 80s. Here they went up in the 2000s. So from a bird's eye view, they do track their trends, right? Where silver goes, oil is going to go. Where oil goes, silver is going to go. That's not a big mystery. But when you zoom in, they don't move in the same steps. Look here in even in the 70s. Look at that. Silver had a crazy move up here. And I think sometimes we're at 68, 69 on the from a macro perspective. Silver corrects. Oil, look at that. It kept going up, 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 up until silver also rejoined. When silver's done its correction here, then they both melted up together. But look at that. Even here, there's another silver. Look at that. When silver finished its melt up move here in 74, it started correcting, going sideways. Look what oil did. It kept going up and up and up. It didn't stop there. And then after that, when silver finished its correction, they both melted up together. So
So, from what it looks like here, I think what you just said, it sounds like the relationship between silver and oil tending while they tend to go together, it's not always the case that one leads and the other follows. So if that's true, then how do you really predict like instead of like what's the how would you answer the person who's asked instead of oil going up, how do you know silver's not going down?
yes, well, yeah. So silver could probably go down, and as silver rehydrates here, let's say silver does start correcting here, and it goes. Oh, let me move all these drawings here. Move drawings. So let's say silver does the blue line here. Silver goes corrects a little bit. Then that's the same setup that we were going to have all these other times I showed you, and then oil is going to break out. The idea is because silver versus the SPX, like say GUSD divided by SPX, because silver is not super stretched versus SPX, like it's just starting to, starting to, its move versus SPX. We haven't run hot 10 years now for silver versus SPX, where we're at the end of a bull market for silver. We're probably just like at the beginning here, the first stages. Now we could have a pullback, and then after that, off we go to the races, just like we did maybe a little bit, back here where silver hit that wall here, and then it went down and then went up. We're a similar position right now. So we're not super stretched. Like I would be wary or scared for silver if it'd be back at 2012 highs versus SPX, if it'd be back at 1980 highs versus the stock market. We're not even there yet. We're just in the early innings. So whatever silver is doing now, the correction, I don't think it's the top, like the 2012 one or the 1981 top. The only what I suspect more likely to happen if we start correcting is just some type of correction here, and then after that, it's off to the races here. But while silver does this, I think now the play, because that's opportunity cost here, right? If silver starts correcting and it's stretched from its moving averages and it starts correcting versus the stock market, it could go sideways 6 months, a year, like who knows, right? And then in the meantime, what I've shown you with that chart is oil. I'll put USL there. Whoops, not that one. In the meantime, while silver corrects, Patrick, goodness, US, United
Fat
States
fingers.
oil. Yeah, sometimes. Let's put the back at the monthly. Let's remove silver here. So that's going to be probably the move there. It's going to be this thing breaking out. And there's many clues for you could look at USL, that's 12 months. You could look at crude. That's another Wisdom Tree ETF there tracking oil. Let's look at that one. Look at that. Look at that. My goodness, Steve. Woohoo! That gets me excited there. That stuff is like, remember, guys, what happened to silver or any chart that has these type of patterns, pull flag. And if it breaks to the upside, that's the market telling you, holy Moses, man, that's the lower risk entry points, which means the chances of getting triggered out. So let's say I have a sell stop down here, I enter here. The chances of getting triggered out, once you get a confirmed breakout, you might retest the breakout line, but odds are you're going to get better reward on the way out there, and the target's probably somewhere here. So that's the setup there. And we have so much. What else is there? There's USO, United States Oil Fund. Look at these crazy, crazy patterns there. My goodness, it's like they're very close to breaking out. And if you want to see a little bit of the future in there, you could look at charts like Exxon, which I think, I don't know if we talked about Exxon back the last time we talked on your podcast there. It was somewhere maybe here.
Yeah, we looked at it a bit. I mean, leaders tend to lead, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, the oil plays, they do, they could also do fine when oil is going nowhere, right? The oil plays, like in the 80s, like Exxon did just phenomenal while oil price went sideways. But they do have tailwinds. I'll show you with the oil chart on top there. So let's put that here. Let's click and drag, and that put on log scale. So you see, they could get tailwinds. As oil goes up, they could go up also. But if oil goes sideways or down, it didn't stop the Exxon from doing great, right? And if I put it adjusted for dividends, my goodness, it's like bottom left to top right, right? It's a crazy, crazy return. So the oil plays, I don't want to say they're almighty, all powerful, but they've shown that they're able to go up while oil prices go down. They could do great gains. And they could also do good with oil prices going up. Look at that. They also track oil prices going up. I think their downfall is maybe a huge recessionary impulses. You see, 2008 here, all the way to 2010, the Exxon had a hard time. But most of the time, bottom left to top right, and you just had another breakout
Yeah.
for Exxon. There's another one, Baker Hughes, BKR? Baker Hughes. Look at that thing. Hold on, let me put that here.
I've invested in BKR throughout the years.
Okay, well, look, I'll show you this one here I put on Twitter. So here's B Baker Hughes, the quarterly chart. It broke out back in one, two, three, four, five, like 6 quarters ago, that thing broke out there. It's crazy. And I don't know what the narrative was. Did I care? Do we care? We shouldn't. Because all of this, I asked ChatGPT there, tell me what Baker Hughes does. I kind of know what they do. They're like the second biggest holding in the OIH ETF, the oil service industry. But all this stuff, I know it's like, oh, Baker Hughes is the largest oil field. And people, they start fantasizing that because it's big, whatever, it could be worth more. But forget all that, guys. Forget all what it does. Because it did that no matter, sometimes in a bear market, it still does that stuff, But now, look at that breakout. Crazy, crazy, crazy breakout a few quarters ago. Now it's getting stretched. I have a target up here, but they're not doing lower lows, these oil plays. They're doing higher highs, the oil plays. And the last man standing, of course, it's oil itself there. That's one of the last man standing. Let's go on the weekly. Oops, remove drawings. That wick destroys all for chart traders. That wick is just horrible because every time I reframe it has to put that wick all the way down there. It's really annoying. So this is the oil play, crude oil itself. And it's pretty clear. Like, let's put on the line chart on the weekly. So that's pretty much a pretty important line there. We're getting really close to testing it. Oh, that is just phenomenal if that breaks out. I suspect it will break out. If you look at the oil plays, they're on the move. So we're getting really close to a test here of a breakout for oil. Yeah, that $67, $70 level is going to be pretty stiff resistance. But let's see. I just want to stretch out line. Yeah, that's $70 level. That's important, guys. Always use the most history you can. You see here, one touch, two zone touch, reactions here, went above, then from on top, it became support, resistance. So look at that here. So that's pretty much the level. Yeah, maybe here. So if we start closing on a weekly close basis at 69, 70, my goodness. We're probably going to be heading all the way to. I look like a coach there doing lines on a. We're probably going to be heading to $90 there in a pretty fast move there if ever we're able to close above 70. So we're getting really, really close.
Yeah.
The oil plays are getting stretched. The oil plays are actually entering corrections on the daily chart. So while the monthly chart, Here's a Chevron, another beautiful chart there. Well, Chevron is not stretched here. The bottom pane is distance from that red line. It's just starting to move right. Chevron will likely peak. It peaks when you're stretched from the moving average, right? Or that's the best entries are down here. So Chevron was probably last month on that breakout here. So while it's starting to move up,
Yeah.
if I go to the daily chart for Chevron, it's lost its rising momentum here. It's getting stretched and now it's resetting. So we're in a correction mode right now. For people who missed Chevron, the better entry here, and you don't like chasing, then you just have to wait for this to resolve. So now it's 100% correction mode. And once that resolves there for Chevron, then we're going to probably have the next leg up. So let me put a. So probably here's the neck 185. If we get a daily close above 185, it's probably going to be go time. But ideally, I would love to have the price reset more towards that 12 month, that 36 day moving average, is that red line. And then after that, have it re-explode. So I would love that for this to consolidate longer. And anybody on the sidelines, they should pray for this, because the longer it goes sideways here and then it breaks out, you'll get another new lower risk entry point. And lower risk, I always imply higher reward. When I say lower risk, it means if ever somebody enters here on the breakout, the chances of the price going down and getting triggering you out are much lower once you break out here. And then after that, it's like, look at that crazy move there on the, that's the measured move there. So if we break out of that consolidation, you could probably see a Chevron at 220 there.
Wow.
You said you had
So,
oil stocks? You don't do you yeah, well, let's see.
yeah, I'm a believer in oil, but I wanted to ask you about oil, people love oil because it's hated, and then people hate oil because it's hated for the same reason,
Right? Yeah.
and so but I'm more of the former camp. I believe that it's cheap. I don't know where you can show that in the charts of
I'll show you.
maybe.
I'll show you how cheap it is. Look how oil is cheap. So let's price oil and SPX shares. Let's put a monthly, remove all, reset price chart. So this is oil. Let me remove, since 1881, priced in SPX shares. So it doesn't mean it can't get cheaper, but now we are down here somewhere. So, sometimes it was cheap oil. Here was cheap, it was cheap, it was cheap. Then we had the 1972s run. But here we broke that floor. So now the SPX has created a new lower plateau in favor of oil. But oil is down here somewhere. Now that's the G the that crazy spike down in 2020 when oil went negative. But we're down here somewhere again. So we're at the 1998 lows, we're at the 2020 lows, we are at the 2025. 2026 there, we're there. And you can see from the distance from moving average, so that bottom pane, that's how stretched I am from the red line. It kind of gives you a clue if you're susceptible to have it like a reversion to mean and stuff like that. So that's how cheap oil is priced in SPX. Now, I could do that also priced in silver. It's So let's look at silver. Silver and oil, remove. Look at that. My goodness. Let me clean that, clat that. That is historically, we've ranged, oil has ranged within silver. There's like a band here, a range, and maybe 2.5 here, somewhere in the middle, 2.6. So most since 18, like super late there, it's ranged. Oil, the oil silver ratio has range. If this goes down, silver's outperforming oil. And if it goes up, oil's outperforming silver. And look how stretched we are to the downside. It's not just that we're hitting, like we're way below like outlier territory, like we're all the way down here there. My goodness. We are also super stretched from the mean, that moving average there, that 36-month moving average, that red line. We're super stretched. So what you have to expect now is at the very least a reflation of oil versus silver. So either silver corrects, go sideways, and silver and oil goes on one of those those breakouts like I showed you. And then maybe we'll see what happens. Is it going to be a new plateau forever and ever in favor of silver? Maybe. But you got to expect right now some type of retest of the zone here. I don't know quite where the breakout line is. So, reflation of oil versus price silver. Or are we going to go back up here and eventually, start go back into the historical range where it spent most of its time? I'm gonna put that on the yearly chart. Where does it look on the yearly chart? Candles. Yeah, this is extreme, extreme. Look at that volume. Wow. Often you see huge volume at the bottoms or tops. So with hindsight, maybe we're gonna go back into this range here. But this is a yearly chart, so it could take many years there. So there's if you want, let's say I'm holding a gun to your head, I'll never do that. But let's say I will.
I hope not, Patrick. Thank you for clarifying.
I'm forcing you to either hold oil or silver. I'm forcing you.
Okay.
Then we don't have enough evidence yet to swap our silver into oil, right? You need some proof there that going up, but you are in the in high I like outlier territory where, my goodness, if ever this starts turning up, then you should severely think about swapping some of that silver into oil. Look, it's already starting to turn up a little bit. Here's a daily chart. Let me reset my chart view.
Patrick, when you say go up, are you talking a huge spike? What are we exactly looking for, and how do we know when to make that switch?
Well, it depends on your time horizon. So here's the daily chart of oil versus silver, and there's no evidence. Like right now, it's still trying to carve out some type of base. There's no, let me put there, I'll put here, remove all my drawings. Let's put on the daily chart. Because before we don't know that. Was this a bottom for oil versus silver? Maybe. But I still need more evidence. What I'm going to be looking for is here. I know now there's going to be a wall. So I'm going to be looking for here, 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 here. And that, if ever I get a beautiful pattern here on the daily chart, and then I get a break here out of the multi-touch breakout line, I would probably swap some silver, some oil, some silver into oil if I'm forced to hold either or, it's because it's they could be both going down in price and this chart could be breaking out, right? So that's what a ratio chart tells you. But if I have that breaking to the upside and I have the oil chart itself breaking out, so we got the USL chart or the CRUD. I love CRUD. Am I pronouncing it properly? CRUD? Crude, crud,
Sure.
crud, because there's no E at the end, right? So it's crud. And I have this chart breaking out. I think it's crude. They want they wanted to write crude, but they
I
don't
think
have
they're
a
just
picture.
I think they're trying to appeal to the Canadians.
And if I have that ratio chart for silver, or oil breaking out versus silver, and I have the oil chart itself breaking out to the upside, then that makes my decision much easier. You go long oil at this point, right? And there's some not negatives for oil there, but what's scaring me is always the disinflation event, right? That recession fear, and people a lot of people are scared about that. I could put the 30-year yield chart here, and if I overlay crude again, let me put that crud. Let me put that new price
Crud
gag.
just sounds more fun.
It's more fun, right? It's like a superhero, supervillain there. Here, so let's say I put the, you'll see that the 30-year yields, they're kind of a reflection of the oil price, right? The higher the oil price, the biorhythm of oil is the inflation rate. And often inflation, the long-term inflation is, you could see that through the yields, right? Because if the market's expecting longer-term inflation, then the yields have to accommodate for that destruction of purchasing power. So it's just this, right? The 30-year yields, they haven't broken out yet, and they're still vulnerable. They're going sideways. So is that something, what's going to drag down On the 30-year yield. Well, you have to look at the 10-year yield. So if there's a disinflation event on the 10-year yields, then that could probably, if it's really bad, then the 30-year yield might get a little dip there. So that's the 10-year yield has not, goodness, it's looking pretty, it's looking vulnerable right now. When I'm looking at that, that's my fear, my fear. If I would let myself be scared, that would be my fear for oil. And then the 2-year yields also are not conducive to, you know, if the 2-year yields vomit, then that could drag down the 10-year yields.
Man, crud, you've
But
got a way for words, my friend. I do want to ask you about, being afraid, being scared. So when you look at oil being cheap, on one hand you see, a bargain. On the other hand, like there's the fear of bottoming out. And like, how much do you pay attention to the news and narrative, and all the stuff that's going on in Venezuela and the Middle East? How much do you look at it in comparison to the dollar? I mean, what other things do you look at that kind of sways you one way or the other?
I'm a super curious person. I love this all the news. I'll listen to that stuff. I shouldn't, but it should not. I got pretty good at the end. It's like you know how people at professional athletes. It's not just the physical attributes they have to strengthen. It's their mental fortitude. You know, I go in hostile territory. I'm the Yankees, and I'm playing where? What's their enemies? The Yankees. It's the Red Sox.
Red
That's
Sox, yeah.
And then you go there, and then, you know, people are hollering insults at you. But you know, the pro Yankee player, he's like, it bounces off him, right? So when I the way I see charts now, with all my years' experience, is even if I hear some super super bearish news for oil, there's not going to be a war. Like I'm looking at the charts. What is the aggregate of market participants telling me? If that chart's breaking out to the upside, like who's to say that the markets haven't already forward front run the next recession? Like, let's say sometimes oil, I could show examples where oil actually bottoms when the recession starts, and people, you have to sell oil, we're starting a recession officially. But hold on, oil was already down, already corrected for 2 years, right? It went sideways here for a few years. Maybe it's already priced in the recovery, it refused to go lower pricing, you know, and then it's just it breaks to the upside while everybody's expecting it to go down. So the news, look. We like playing games with our heads, right? We like finding the news that comforts us, that confirms our bias. But
Yeah.
if that crud, that
We're going
crude
with crud. We're going with crud.
oil,
Just
what's
because it's
it?
more fun.
Well, that crud chart, if that breaks out, I don't care about the news. I just don't. Like, you have to trust the chart. The chart's telling me, look, it's breaking out. All these Exxon plays and all that stuff. Like, my goodness, it's like there's probably a billion reasons not to buy those breakouts back then there. But what do you want me to tell you? It broke out that chart. You can't live in fear of a disinflation event. You can't live in fear of, you know, I'm not smart enough to know all the ins and outs of what moves this price, right? It's like sometimes there's I wanted to put this challenge out to people. It's like when people say, well, silver is going to permanently outperform oil because silver is in a structural shortage and oil, there's an oversupply. Okay. That's the narrative I hear for somebody that has a bias. I could practically tell that person has a bias. They probably already own silver. They probably don't own oil. And that's their go-to narrative for status quo, to justify every night why they're holding one versus the other. But this is my challenge for you guys. Can you find an opposite argument? Try to be objective. Try and find one opposite argument to that. If you can't even find one, that means you're totally biased because you're refusing to let your expand to expansion explore the possibility that there might be an offset in that. And I'll give you the typical offset. So the pro oil bulls, I'll say, well, Patrick, there's been underinvestment in oil forever. So now the pro oil thing is, there's structural underinvestment for years, which will put a cap under oil price. So even if there's a disinflation event, it'll never be enough to drag oil back down to 30, 40 because there's just not enough. I even had a member on our website. He said, Patrick, back in the late 1800s when they got rid of whale oil, remember the before whale oil was supposed to be replaced by regular, like crude oil. And it was, but whale oil, the price went tenfold, he told me, because there was underinvestment in that market. So even if we're transitioning and we're heading into a crude oil era, it still went up tenfold. Well, a whole bunch of money is still to make there, right? So you can't live in fear of all these narratives, because just assume that you don't know all the moving parts, and never play a game if you don't know all the moving parts. And it just surprises me every single time people trying to figure stuff out. And then every day they learn something new. But because you learn something new today, it has to ring a bell and say, oh my goodness, what am I going to learn in 2 weeks that can be contrary to my thesis? It's like, for me, that's like, I just don't do that. I'm a guy who likes to sleep well at night. If there's a breakout, there's a breakout. I just play it. Forget the news, forget all that stuff. And just play the charts as they unfold there.
All right, Karim, I know that you love the weight of evidence approach, and I appreciate that, and that's why I love learning from you here. I do have an objection for on behalf of myself and my listeners, and just to kind of pick your brain as a devil's advocate here. You remember COVID? That was pretty
Yes.
bad for oil.
Yes.
And so when you see a dip like that, it's like, is that narrative, is that news? It's something. Something happened. And so, like, when you see military being sent from the US to Iran, worst case scenarios come to mind, is like, what could that do to the price of oil potentially, good or bad? And how does that correspond with the charts you're looking at? And what kind of upside are we looking at for oil when you say breaking out? When we're talking next big thing, are we talking a parabolic move that goes to high? How high is the potential? And the other way, what might happen the other way?
This is the way I see these big, huge news. It depends when they happen to the price. So if the price is stretched to the upside, a huge bullish looking news or war of an event could actually mark the top. Just like the Ukraine war was the top for oil, silver squeeze back in 2021. Remember that? The crazy bullish news. They can't get the silver to the people and stuff like that. Because the price was stretched from the moving average, no matter the news, is just a catalyst to do the inverse. Just like on the way down, some crazy news, whatever it is, they'll spin it bullish or bearish. That same news, right? Whatever happens, if you have a war when oil is at the bottom, that actually help it go up, because it's just a catalyst. People are looking for a reason to flip their positions and go up. If I have a war on a breakout, that's just a huge event that's going to coincide. But most of the time, you know what? Almost not a proof that. The market's forward looking, because I'm trying to find out there. I'm going to do this research. When the Exxon broke out, there's no headline news. And I have a feeling that the market's forward looking to the point that you'll get the breakout before that crazy news happens, right? They'll be pricing in the possibility of that crazy news happening. And often you won't have crazy news on the breakouts that I like. You'll have crazy news on peaks or bottoms that mark tops, like a Bitcoin top was. Crypto president, all that stuff. That was like the top. That was the top for crypto. But if we would have had a crypto president when the Bitcoin was rock bottom, then it would probably been a reflation. Look, here's COVID. Look, here's Exxon. When was COVID there? Was it in 2020, or when was it? 2018? When did that thing hit us there? I
Depends on who
remember.
you talk to, I guess, but yeah,
2019?
I would correspond by looking at that chart, that dip down there is what
Well,
I think of
yeah.
when I think of COVID.
But look at the price chart, Steve, before that. No breakout for Exxon. Lower highs, starting to carve out lower lows here. There's like, it was losing momentum here. It was already starting to fall apart. Could make a case that triangle broke to the downside, retest. It was already falling apart before that crazy implosion here, right? It was set up, the chart was already, the aggregate of market participants were already sniffing out that weakness in the economy, or that vulnerability. You could have had, let's say we were breaking out here and we had COVID there, and that thing's breaking out to the upside. It would probably just be a healthy correction here on top, and then we never go down here. Never with COVID. Never. All we have to do is just a retest here, and after the rockets, we go there. Off we go. I'm sure there's a bunch of charts that did not plummet like this during COVID. They probably just did healthy retests and they rocket upwards. It's all about where that news event happens in the price cycle, in the price structure of where it happens. Look at gold there. Let's do gold during COVID. I remember this chart, 2008. Look at that. Okay, this is a beautiful, beautiful example there. Here's the gold chart. I'll put the maybe daily chart. I don't know. Let's put weekly chart here for gold. Gold did a crazy, crazy breakout back here, back in 2019, before COVID there. It did a breakout here. This is COVID. This is COVID for gold. Gold did not go, it's right here there, this mess here. It did not go all the way down here, and this because it was already in uptrend. So the worst it did was a retest here of the moving average and a higher lows, higher highs. It just kept going up because structurally the market participants were already looking up. They were already in uptrend because of the macro reason. So look, a strong chart is a strong chart. So let's say there is an outlier event, like you said, COVID there that happens, that strikes us, which could. If your chart's already in a bona fide uptrend, it doesn't mean it's going to kill the trend. It just means you're probably going to get a correction at that moment, but it's in a healthy, still uptrend. So if you're in a downtrend, then you're going to get, sorry, buddy, like if you're already starting to fall apart here. Let's say COVID would have happened. Let's say oil, gold was here somewhere. Let's do an example here. Move drawing. Let's say gold was here when we had COVID there. Then maybe we would have dipped even lower there before that thing went back up, you know? It would have been a harder downturn than on the way up here. You can't look on the monthly chart. COVID on the gold chart, you can't even see it there. Look at that. It's right here. Went all the way down, all the way up. It was up and then went all the way down, and then it closed practically at the same level it was. You can't even see COVID on the gold chart. Why? Because it was already in a bona fide uptrend at that stage. It had a huge amount of tailwinds. So don't live in fear, guys, of all this stuff there. It's just don't.
Patrick, can you tell me what you think are the best oil plays? Whether it's, how are you playing oil, and what kind of suggestions would you have for our listeners?
Look, yeah, so the oil plays, they're already on the move. Now, like I said, we're entering correction mode, so you might get a chance, depending on the type of correction we get on the daily chart. You'll have those CVX, CNQ charts. They've already moved up pretty much. They're starting to get stretched from their moving averages on the shorter time frames. Now they're going to reset. So that's pretty much gone. Now what you have left is the oil itself. Oil itself has not broken out at all. So that's, for me, that's what is on the in the pipeline of plays to the pipelines. That's what's in the pipeline for the next, lower risk, higher reward entry point. CRUD, USL, USO, even crude oil itself. Those are the next plays. 2 year, 3 year corrections. My goodness, it's like the market's already done the hard work for you. Now you're stumbling. People are stumbling on your channel and they're spotting that. So, oh my goodness, the timing is getting close for that. So you just gotta wait for the breakout, guys. They don't, not all breakouts mean you go up, they materialize, but at least that's when statistically you have odds they're skewed in your favor. Like that's your shot there.
Patrick, can you tell us about North Star bad charts, and who would most benefit from your services?
Goodness, thanks, Steve. Well, look, North Star bad charts. I run that with Kevin Wadsworth, North Star Charts on X, on Bad Charts One on X, and yeah, the website. It's we do this. When I talked with you today, all these opportunities, the entries, the profit limits, the exits, all that weight of evidence, and we handle chart requests for our members, and we communicate with them, all that stuff there. It's on the website. That's like a one-stop job there to get all this type of information to make sounder investment decisions. It's all there, on the social media. It's fun, it's wild, wild west, but there's no accountability, right? It's like I could put out a chart there, and but I don't necessarily go back to it. On the website we have officially tracked trades, so it'll be monitored. If the sell stops hit, if the profit limits hit, the members get warned, in an orderly fashion. So yeah, that's a huge difference between behind the paywall and being on social media there.
So North Star Bad Charts is also, you guys give recommendations, or do you actually show what you guys are trading? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, well, we can't trade everything that we have there. So I might have some of the trades that are there, but we have a star rating system where we do exactly like the type of TA I showed you there. We put in the entries, the risk reward profiles, the risk money management. We have a trend navigator system where people don't do classical TA, they just want to write trends. We give alerts on that, email notifications. It's like it's a full service a chart analysis website where you do get actionable intel.
Patrick, can you give us the website for the bad charts as well, North Star bad charts, as well as the socials or any way people can find you and reach
Sure.
out to you?
All right, guys. Northstarbadcharts.com. That's the website. Bad Charts One on X. That's mine. North Star Charts on X. That's Kevin Wadsworth, my friend and partner there for North Star Bad Charts. And yeah, you should have pretty much all the good info there on those outlets.
I'll make sure to put the website and the socials in the show notes. Everybody, thanks for listening. Make sure you guys stay safe, stay sane, guys. And lots going on. And as Patrick said, don't be scared. I don't know what that means, except you should probably reach out to Patrick. For everybody else, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. I'm just Steve Yang, learning alongside you from people smarter than me. And Patrick, it's always a pleasure to have you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Till next time.